America is a very, very intensely driven society to work and accomplish. Work, accomplish. It's not about living, it's about working. And I don't know if any of you watch Emily in Paris. I do. I love it. And you see right in the very beginning of the series, she's in France, she's an American in France, and she goes there early, ready to work at her new job at 8 a.m. And people don't start showing up till 10 a.m. And they're like, "What are you doing here so early?" And then they all go out to lunch, and she sees them, and they're drinking wine and eating and spending 2 hours at lunch. Now, not that that society is what we want to do, but what I have found in Europe and in many other countries is you work to live. You don't live to work.
Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real-life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castagnini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to today's show. Today's episode, it's all about stress, where it comes from, and why so many of us feel constantly overwhelmed, and how to actually come back into the present moment when our minds won't slow down. I'm joined by Alana Calhoun, a transformational mindfulness coach, energy healer, and speaker who empowers high-achieving professionals to thrive personally, professionally, and spiritually. She works with conscious leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals who are often outwardly successful, but inwardly exhausted. Maybe somebody out there listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. She helps people reconnect with themselves, reduce stress, and create more balance and abundance in their lives. And you know what? Who couldn't use that, right? With a background that blends creative arts, corporate leadership, and decades of spiritual and mindfulness training, she brings a really unique perspective to healing and personal growth. She's supported tech entrepreneurs in launching and scaling companies, while also teaching meditation, energy work, and practical tools for grounding in everyday life. She's just really this amazing person. And she's also the host of the podcast, Creating Abundance, where she shares wisdom about inner alignment, health, wealth, and happiness. In today's conversation, we're going to talk about why so many people feel stuck in anxiety right now, how living in the future or ruminating about the past fuels stress, and simple ways to come back into your body and be in the present moment. And we're also going to talk about Alana's 10-count grounding exercise and her approach to mindfulness for busy professionals. So, if you've been feeling overwhelmed, disconnected, or caught in constant worry, this episode offers both reassurance and practical tools to help slow you down, tune in, and take care of yourself in a much more intentional way. I'm really excited to bring her on, so sit back, relax, and we're going to dive in. All right, well, Alana, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Christina?
Well, I am so wonderful now that you're here, and I am so excited to talk to you about stress. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit more about your journey into your career and how you got to this place where you're at, if you don't mind. I know that's probably a very long trajectory, but how did you get into coaching and being an author and doing all these great, wonderful things you're doing?
Well, I used to say there were three of me. There was the performing artist, the singer, actress, dancer, songwriter, author, speaker. And then I was a business person in the corporate world, and then I got into this world of holistic coaching, really. So my first career path was in the arts in New York, and before I went there, though, I was always feeling very spiritually alive. I felt a connection to God at a very young age. I asked to go to Catholic school, and I love praying. And I just it was kind of like a natural thing. It was something I just really resonated with. And so at one point, I remember as a little girl telling my mother I wanted to be a nun, and she said, "No, why don't you go to college and then think about it?" I said, "Okay." And then, no. I've also have creative talents that that took me to New York City. So I lived there for 10 years, and sang and acted and danced on many stages. And it was during that time that I really became very devoted to meditation practice. I had been introduced to TM back in my teenage years, I think when I was 16. So I started transcendental meditation then, became a vegetarian at 17, went to New York in a fun industry, but a very intense industry and not a terribly honest industry. My meditation practice really kicked in to just support me to move through the world that I found myself in. I wasn't in Kansas anymore. I was and Rochester is where I'm from, Rochester, New York, but not much different. I was very green, as I remember a cabbie once saying to me as he took me to a club where I was going to sing. But I got very involved in what was called the New York Open Center, a holistic learning center, and it was down in Soho on Spring Street. And so I just spent as much time there as possible, meeting all kinds of amazing gurus of the time of the 90s, late 80s and 90s. And then I traveled the world, lived in a few other countries because I just love to travel. That's also something I'm very attracted to, aligned with. And then I came back back to Rochester and raised a family and got a real job as the program director of a technology incubator. And I remember when I ran into for a friend. She said, "I've got the job for you." And I didn't even know what an incubator was. So it is for entrepreneurs to start their new ventures. And I had no idea that I was going to love it. I loved going there because I was dealing with all these nerdy techs who reminded me of my dad, and they didn't know how to communicate, and I did. And so I was the facilitator for them for so many things. And I loved putting on programs to help these very brave, courageous entrepreneurs take their dreams and fly with them. Sometimes they fell and crashed and burned, but it was all a learning experience. And then I felt this spiritual hand on my back, literally saying, "It is time." So I feel that I'm a natural healer. While I was in New York, and I took so many courses and training in healing of the hands, and then Reiki was introduced back in the 80s in, I think, Hawaii or Colorado. So of course I'm a master in numerous lineages there and have studied Kundalini and Kriya Yoga and been in Tibetan Buddhist path for almost 8 years in the Magyu lineage. And so I believe the answers to the world are in the sacred, in the heart, and that love is truly the answer for everything. And everything I've learned, it's really about love. Sometimes that's fierce love, but it's never mean love. It's always love. So it was a calling. It was a real calling that has really pushed me into being a mindfulness coach. I do a lot of healing work. I do a lot of health work and wellness work, and I still sing every now and then. So that's how I got here.
Awesome. I mean, such a diverse background, and it's going to be really interesting to talk to you about, because I'm a psychologist and we have a lot in common, but also very different. And so I'd like to hear a little bit more about how you work with people, because I know you work with people in a different way than I do. And so what kind of people come to work with you? Like, is there like a particular population, or do people come to you to work with more specific things, or is it like more global? Like,
To start with, when I was in college, I thought I was going to major in psychology because I love helping people. And I had a teacher who just wasn't very good. And we were supposed to be performing these terrible experiments on mice. And I just couldn't do it. I ended up getting a degree in theater, which was a lot more fun. But I've thought about going back many times to get my psych degree. And I haven't been able to, be at least because I'm too empathetic. I feel people's emotions so intensely. I can look at somebody and know intuitively what they're going through, and I can feel it. And so I knew that if I were to try to sit in an office and see five, eight people, I hate to say this, but dump on me, I don't think I didn't think I thought I would I'd end up crying by the end of the day or probably throughout the day. So my approach is about creating radiant abundance in one's overall life and looking at all areas. So a person will come to me who's in transition, who wants to learn how to meditate, who needs to calm down, who wants to feel more healthy, who wants to make more money. In a way that's not going to stress them out, how to deal with life without and exceed and succeed, continue to succeed in life and move to that next step of your career path or the transition. Trust and believe and take that leap, as many entrepreneurs do, without the anxiety and stress. And so I work mostly with professionals, entrepreneurs, CEOs, teachers, let's see, all kinds of professionals. I've worked with artists and estheticians. And I used to call the program Mindfulness for Professionals, and that really is what it is. And it's about creating a plan for you specifically. So just as every physical body is unique, so is every personality. We share a lot of thoughts, et cetera, but every personality has different goals, different intentions, different backgrounds, et cetera. And so we hone in on who they are, right? Self-growth, self-development. Who are you? My company name is Grow to Be You. So that's really about being authentic, being yourself, trusting in your strengths and accepting your weaknesses and knowing they're both gorgeous, and to move ahead with some skills and tools such as meditations, mindfulness training, energy balancing, chakra balancing, yoga, healthy eating, etc. like that. So, but I would say about 75% are women between 30 and 70. Every once in a while, I'll get someone younger. And about 20, 25% professional men. And when it gets down to it, it's all about stress. It's all about worrying about the future, worrying about the past, and not actually knowing how to live in the present moment. And so that's the first key, is understanding that I am here now and my hands are on a desk and I can feel the desk. And there may be a thousand thoughts going through my head right now, but those thoughts are not tangible. They are only real when we make them real. And so for those who are listening, and for you, it's about tuning in, going within, accessing your inner wisdom. So the name of my upcoming book is Creating Abundance, Access Your Inner Wisdom to Manifest Radiant Health, Wealth, and Happiness. Because the answers are in each and all of us, and we're always searching outside. So it's about bringing us back inside. And so I like to teach people the tools so they don't have to rely on me. Now, I've had clients for up to 8 years, but they'll go in phases. They'll see me every week and then twice a month, and then they'll go away for a year and then they'll come back, etc. And I think it's all about self-care. It's all about self-care and trusting and knowing that you are worth the time and the energy to understand who you are, accept who you are, and make the shifts that are going to improve your happiness and well-being.
You know, I want to go back to what you were saying about being in the now, because I think that is one struggle so many people have, to your point. Like, people are so constantly worrying about what if this happens, or trying to think about every worst case scenario that could happen. So there's this false sense of, okay, if I think of every worst case scenario, then I'll be prepared for if any one of them were to happen. And so they're just stuck in this mindset, right? Of like, you know, constant worry. And I always kind of say, like, oh, you're trying to prevent future pain, so you're causing current pain, right? And so how do you help people get grounded and live in the moment? Because that is so hard to stay present and not, like, either ruminating on the past, or, to your point, like, trying to, like, think about what could be coming in the future, or thinking about, like, what they need to do later on. And it creating so much anxiety and stress.
Yeah. Well, there are many tools, but the one that's coming to me right now, I call this 10 count exercise. And it's written in the book, and I give a few stories about it that are fun to read and to understand. And what that is especially when a strong sense of stress appears. Your child's in the other room and breaks something, or your spouse comes home late. At work, you can't make the deadline. Your friend doesn't show up for dinner. Anything that really, like, can really cause you, like, to just go, you know, get angry or upset or sad or hurt or intense feelings, count to 10. And you breathe with a count. So it goes 1, 2, 3. And you continue that up to 10. And when you read the book, you'll see just how long that takes. Not long at all, to come to a place of calm. When you give yourself that 10 count of allowing yourself to come back into the present moment, not of what somebody's done to you, not of how someone has disrupted you or hurt you or gotten you angry, or an environment, you know, even if something you did, if you fell or whatever, it's coming back and stepping out of the outside crises that's over there. And it's usually not physical. It's almost never physical. You know, okay, so you miss the deadline. Was the deadline heart surgery? Most likely no. You know, so sometimes we think our stress level goes through the roof because we think what we're doing is so important, and it is important and it is valuable, but not to the expense of your health and well-being. And so that 10 count exercise works all across the board. You could be, there's an Ayurveda training, which is based in India, and it's really about eating. You would love, oh, I'm going to tell you all about it another time. and it's, they, in the Ayurveda philosophy, they say that there are three types, body mind types. And one is Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And the vata has a tendency to move very, very quickly. And I can be that person. And sometimes when I'm in that mode where I'm just going full speed ahead, I'll make mistakes. I'll get exhausted, or I'll burst my energy bubble. And so that's a perfect time to just simply stop, pause. You can do the 10 count exercise, or there's another one that I offer, and it's the 5 steps to de-stress, and I can't remember what they are. But if you send me an email, which is alana@alanacahoon.com, I will send you those 5 steps.
Okay. What do you think is causing so much stress in people right now? Because it seems like there is an enormous uptick in people's stress levels right now. At least I'm experiencing that with the influx of people coming in to see me, and I'm just hearing it in general. I mean, I have my own theories and my own ideas, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. Yeah. Two thoughts come to mind. And one is you and I, are in America. And America is a very, very intensely driven society to work and accomplish. Work, accomplish. It's not about living, it's about working. And I don't know if any of you watch Emily in Paris. I do. I love it. And you see right in the very beginning of the series, she's in France, she's an American in France, and she goes there early, ready to work at her new job at 8 a.m. And people don't start showing up till 10 a.m. And they're like, "What are you doing here so early?" And then they all go out to lunch, and she sees them, and they're drinking wine and eating and spending 2 hours at lunch. Now, not that that society is what we want to do, but what I have found in Europe and in many other countries is you work to live. You don't live to work. And I think that's the balance that our country needs to look at. The professionals that I work with, that certainly is it. It's always, 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 I don't have enough time. No one has enough time, including me. And why do I have to do everything for myself? Why can't anybody else do it right, kind of thing? Ever since the pandemic, in my viewpoint, the world has gone upside down. The global pandemic affected everyone, and people tend to be living from a place of fear more than trust. And that is not a healthy way to live. Cortisol levels go up. The dreams get intense and scary. When you don't feel safe, you're under stress. And there's a lot of that happening, certainly in this country and around the world. Those things change is hard for people.
Very
Change
much.
is, and I saw something really sweet in a social media post the other day, and it was something about when, I can't think of it, something about power and love and how, oh, when the love of power outweighs the power of love, we're unbalanced. And that's, I think, a big part of the stress level going on. Yeah.
So, for anyone listening who's relating to all of this and saying, yes, I've noticed my stress level has significantly increased, and they don't know where to turn or like a first step to take to decrease it. A lot of times, people will ask me, like, oh, should I take a medication? Or like, is there one thing I should do? What would you suggest? I mean, I have my own opinions. I can say all sorts of things, but you're here, and so I'd love to hear your
Sure.
thoughts.
Well, I believe in meditation, and just for anyone who's not familiar with it, there are many forms of it. It's not, some guy in a loincloth sitting on a mountain. There are some who do that, but that's not you and me. It's really about quieting the mind and allowing yourself time for solitude and peace. And so a meditation could be going to a lake or an ocean, a beach or a park, and simply sit in nature and allow yourself to relax in the sounds of nature. Another is creative visualization. That's my favorite. We have these gifts of our minds, and instead of allowing them to run us, you can actually run them and go on creative journeys for yourself. What is it that you'd really like in life? And imagine that you're there. Imagine you are living your dream life as a meditation and say, I now manifest this. And you would be surprised how things start shifting in your world and the opportunities to embody and live the dream life you want. You're free to visit my website, which is my name, alanacahoon.com. I've got meditations there, and if you just send me a note through there, I'm happy to send you some more links to some free stuff. I've got an ebook there that's on Amazon, but I give it to you for free on my website. Oh, and I've got a book. It's called Mindfulness Mantras and Meditations, and it's really simple, easy to read, and I will be coming out with my new book, Creating Abundance. And so all these things are ways and tools for you. And exercise is really great too. Exercise creates endorphins. This morning I was really, really tired, and I hadn't been to the gym in, I don't know, probably 3 weeks. And I went and I felt great. I felt so good just being there, just going, without beating myself up for not going for 3 weeks. I had other priorities, and that's okay. But listen, tune into your body. It's about allowing yourself to pause. Pause, stop. If you're walking, stop midstream. Don't think about anyone else, what they're thinking, and just go within. Take a breath. Yeah, I got a lot of more tools. There's like the morning check-in and all kinds of goodies.
Yeah, no, but it's great. And I love that you said that about exercise, because so many people think it's about something else. And it's really to your point about like listening to your body and moving and feeling good in your body. And another thing is, I always hear people say, like, I'm no good at meditating. I don't know how to do it. So I'm glad you brought up different ways to do it, and that there are ways, like if people go to your website, there's ways, to learn to do it in different m modes. And you don't have to, there's not like you're good at it or you're not. It's just how to do it in a way that works for you. And so encourage people to check out your website too. And I'm excited for your book. So,
Thank
yeah,
you.
that's exciting. So I will have all your information in the show notes too, so people don't worry about like if you know how to spell her last name from hearing it or jotting it down. I will have all that there. Also, you have a podcast as well, and
Yes.
so I will have that in there. Again, I just want to give you a couple minutes here to just talk about that, and then
Sure.
if there's any last final words for people before we leave, that would be great.
Okay, so the podcast is called Creating Abundance. As you can see, that's my theme, really. And it's, remember, it's not just about wealth, it's about physical health, the abundance of radiant physical health and flowing wealth so that you always have an in-stream and happiness and finding your source of happiness, because happiness. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. We all want to be happy, but life is life, and sometimes you're going to get hit with a turn, and it's okay. Find your happy place. Create a sacred zone in your house. Buy your favorite painting and sit in front of it and look at it. So the podcast that I have interviews people like you, Christina, and other professionals who often shared their journeys of how they got to where they are today. the pitfalls and the high points, and anything that they are really skilled and experienced to share and teach everyone. I have anywhere from musicians to professors to CEOs to doctors to lawyers, lots of coaches. In fact, you are going to be my guest as well, Dr. Christine, and I'm delighted about that. And we're both part of the Los Angeles Tribune podcast network. So that's a lot of fun.
It is. Lana, this has been so fun. Work together and see each other in person, but now, having you on here and hearing more about the work you do is inspiring, and I know you help a lot of people, so thank you so much for being on here and for all the work that you do in the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please like, rate, and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation.